talk about together today is take another look at Noah's life and what we can learn from him at this point in his life. So if you could find our text is the entire chapter of Genesis 8. Genesis chapter 8. And I'll read the chapter because a part of teaching and preaching is that you read the Word of God first, right? You read it, then we try to understand it, and then we apply it. So you okay? Fine. Could you find Genesis chapter 8? And if you're able to stand, please do so. I'll read it. I'll read the chapter in your hearing. We'll ask God's blessing and ask Him to help us understand and apply these truths to our lives. Verse 1. When God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. Verse 6. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and set forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. Verse 10. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. Verse 13. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelt the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. We thank you for your great love for us. We humble ourselves now as we come to take a careful look at your word. I pray that you would help me, help this lump of clay, be a useful servant in your hands today. Would you help us all to grow together in grace and the knowledge of Christ, and help us to understand what you say to us and how to work it out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. So today we're going to be talking about life after the cleansing flood. Life after the cleansing flood. It's been a few weeks since we visited this subject, so just a quick review. Y'all might remember that we saw in Genesis 6, verses 11 and 12, that humanity had essentially ruined God's design for creation. Right? The Bible says that there was corruption and violence, and as we just read, the intention, every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Okay? And so, what God created for good, now man had ruined it, right, with his evil intentions and ways. So, God then planned to destroy humanity that had destroyed his creation. Saw that in Genesis 6:13. God laid out the plan, purposed in his own heart that he was going to destroy evil humanity. So God made provisions, and he always does this, for the righteous. He made provisions for a righteous remnant to be preserved in this destruction. This righteous remnant was going to be preserved even though he was bringing judgment, right? That's, God is just so gracious and merciful. He always has a plan, right? He always is working the plan of redemption and glory. And so in Genesis 6:14 and 7 through 17, we saw how he had planned to preserve this remnant. Then we saw that God established this covenant, right? He made this promise, established this covenant with Noah and with his family and with the animals that he planned to deliver out of the flood, out of the judgment, out of the destruction. By a gracious act from his own heart, he decides, I'm going to save these. Nothing good about them, nothing exceptional about them. God decides who he's going to preserve. Amen. This is amazing. This is amazing. That's great. Nothing special about these animals. Nothing special about Noah. There's something special about God.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the reason he deserves the boast and the praise, right? Amen. By grace we have been what?
Saved.
Not of yourself. So I thank God that he spared Noah, but it wasn't because Noah was special. Because God is special, and God specifically chose to preserve humanity. So by his own sovereignty, his own rule, and by his own grace, God determined who would enter the ark and when they would enter the ark. We saw that in Genesis chapter 7, the first half of that. It was God's own plan that he gave, and it was God's own plan that he worked out. He decided who was going to be in the ark, and he decided when it was time to go in, right? And we also saw, though, at the end of, look at the latter half of Genesis 7, God also decided who was going to die.
Amen.
The same God. The same God who graciously saved some, righteously destroyed others.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So he says in Romans 9, when he's giving this theology, 9, 10, 11, Jacob have I loved, mm-hmm. Esau have I hated. Are you going to contend with God because he tells you he hates someone? Shall the pot say to the potter, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Shall you say to the maker, the one who made Jacob and Esau, what he shall do with them? You see this is the point?
Yeah.
So we have to see this as a gracious act of God. It's gracious in that he spared what? Anybody.
Amen.
Right? That's the grace. That's the mercy. That's the wonder of it all. And so, anyway, that's a quick review that kind of brings us up to where we are today. And so as we look at chapter 8, we're going to try to keep our thoughts around, bring our ideas together around these two big thoughts. In verses 1 through 14, we look at God ending the judgment. And then in verses 15 through 22, we look at God as he began the restoration, right? He ends the judgment, and he starts the restoration. thank God that He works out His plan, and that in His plan He says to us as believers that judgment isn't perpetual for us. Right? There's an end to it. And that we're going to see as we go through here. So He gives us hope. So let's start then by looking at verses 1 through 5. And this is what I predominantly the thought in 1 through 5 is I want you to see that God remembers. In verses 1 through 5, we're going to see how God remembered Noah. Now, let me start by saying this. The Bible uses certain terms about God to help us somewhat relate to Him. But unfortunately, when you try to apply the same terms to God, you have to be careful not to think of God like yourself. In other words, God doesn't forget. It's not when God remembers, it's not that He forgot something and then it came back to mind. Because for God, there is no memory lapse. He knows what? The end from the beginning. So He has a full panoply of all of history before anything ever happened. Right? So it's not possible for Him to forget, not like we think about forgetting. And so when the Bible says this remembers, it didn't mean that he was absent-minded and then, you understand? So don't think of it that way. It simply means that God had made a promise, and now it's time for the promise to be fulfilled. You see how that's, you got to think theologically here. So from man's perspective, it looked like God forgot because it took so long, right? But just because it took a long time didn't mean that God practically forgot. It simply means that it wasn't time. So you were together when I use the terminology remember. So don't think of it like us remembering. It simply means that God had made a covenant and a promise, and now it's time to follow through. So that's the whole issue here. God had promised to deliver Noah, his family, and all of the animal life out of the judgment. And this first phrase right here simply means that God keeps His promise. Amen. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. Okay? He made that promise. He made that covenant. And now it's time to keep it. Okay? So, you notice what God does. He brings the ark to rest. You see that in verse 4? And in the seventh month of the 17th day, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Okay? So God is the one that brought the ark to rest. And you notice how He did it. Look at the second sentence in verse 1. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were closed. What does all that say to us? God controls this destruction. He controls how long it was going to go on. He controls these dynamics in our lives. So even though it's judgment is measured out by God. God knows when it's time to stop. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right? People might not still agree with Him. That's not the issue. God knows when His purpose has been accomplished, right? And when it's time to stop. So God made these winds to blow it. What does that say to us? As we look at this particular situation here with the flood, God controls all of nature. You remember AJ and some of the children mentioned earthquakes and tornadoes and storms and that kind of thing. God is the one who's controlled that. You do know that. They don't just happen. That's under God's purview. It's under His full control. There's no random activity under God's heaven. That doesn't mean that there won't be pain. And things that you don't understand. Why this person was hurt, or this person didn't survive. That doesn't mean that you won't have any of that, but that it still doesn't mean that there was any luck or any chance. God was in full control. So God controls all of nature, right? And if that's reminiscent of the, for those of us in the New Testament era, that's reminiscent of the scene where Christ, you remember Christ is in the boat, and he and the disciples are going to go across the lake. Y'all remember that, don't you? He went down, went to sleep, and what, you remember? The storm came up, and the disciples were in a frenzy because they thought they were going to die, and he went down, and the boat came up, and so he came up, and what did he do? Spoke to the storm. Think of that. What came up and spoke to the wind, the Bible says, and the people, and the disciples, now they've been with him. What kind of man is this?
Right.
Nobody speaks to wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except God.
Yeah. Right?
What kind of man is this? The wind and the wave obey.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
God! God controls it.
Yeah.
That's the reason we trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
When
Amen.
It's hard. My wife's always telling my secrets so I tell from her. My wife isn't a fan of tornadoes and violent storms, and so I always know when the wind gets a little high. If you up in my house, you know, to my basement in the office, I always know when I get a visit from her that the winds have gotten a little bit uncomfortable for her. And so she got a secret place, a private place in the basement to protect. And that's good to be wise in songs. But she and I and you and all of us need to realize that even though we respond wisely in storms, this is God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God is the master.
Amen.
Of the storm. And ultimately, our trust is what?
Amen.
In Him.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean we act unwisely. He says to the disciples, be it what? Wise? And so, her response is a wise response. It's just that even after we've acted wisely, our trust is in the Lord who controls the storm.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So that's what we see here. God controls the storm. He controlled the beginning and the end of the flood when His purposes had been accomplished. And let's notice Noah's response to God in faith. You see that beginning in verse 6. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and he sent forth a raven. What I see here is that Noah responded in faith, but he also responded in wisdom. And just as I said to my wife, God, to respond wisely to circumstances doesn't mean that you're acting up with a lack of faith, right? Faith says act wisely, right? And so Noah, even though the winds have stopped, the rain, it's not raining anymore, Noah didn't jump up on the top of the boat and say, let's go take a swim.
Well,
just in exuberance and foolishness, just, take off, right? So that's the reason I say he responded to God's faithfulness in what? Wisdom. And I'm saying, I'm hoping that you're thinking as we're talking through this. There's times that your storm may be over, but you still have to respond wisely.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? And then I noticed, and this is amazing to me, I had to meditate on this one for a while. And you read my statement and then let's talk about it in a minute. God did not tell Noah any details after the flood started. You got to follow me here. So there, Noah is functioning in faith. He didn't know if it's time to open the window or not. Not for, you know, not with certainty. But he's moving in faith and he's moving wisely. Trusting God as he what? Moves wisely. He's not being presumptuous. Okay? And there are times when God doesn't give you all the details that you want. But he expects you to respond in faith even when you don't know.
Oh, that's right. Amen.
That's what you see Noah doing here, right?
Yeah.
The winds have died down, and then he can sit there like Gideon and, you know, wait for God to knock on the door, but he's not going to do that. Right? He expects you to be wise. He's given you the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And he expects you to use that mind as you make decisions. And trust him as a good father. If your decision is wrong, what does a good father do? You correct you, right? Okay. So, we see Noah here responding wisely in faith without presumption. And you notice this. This is what I meditated on. In verses 7 through 12, what I see is that God hasn't spoken directly to Noah now. But God begins to reveal his will through the normal circumstances of life. Okay? Are you following me now? You got to stay with me. It's through the normal circumstances and natural circumstances of Noah's life that he begins to see God's will. Show you what I mean. You notice in verse 7, he opened the window and he set forth a raven, right? Says that the raven went to and fro until the waters were dried up on the earth. Then you notice verse 8, then he sent forth a dove. You see that? And you'll know he did that three times, right? Sent forth the dove. And you remember that the raven, you got to follow me here. The raven never came back. You think about this. Now, y'all know what a raven is, right? Vulture. When you grow up in the country like me, it's a buzzard. You know, scavenger. Now, think. Why didn't a raven come back? Raven happened. Why would the raven be happy? Ravens in heaven. not in heaven. And I'm not saying this in jest, but you do realize that God gives scavengers for specific ecological purposes on earth. And that raven and others were going to serve some ecological purposes in God's new environment. And that raven was out already doing what they do best. So there was no need for him to go back to the ark. Now, Noah has to be careful not to misread that sign. You follow me? So, he sends the dove. The raven didn't come back, but that doesn't mean that all is well. So let me send one that's a non-scavenger. And see if they come back. Right? You follow this? And so the dove went out, and you remember the story, and what? Came back. Which meant that there was no place. Even though the scavenger is fine with the way life is out there, life isn't ready for me and my family and everybody else here. You understand? So what I'm saying to you, you got to be wise. Even though we got circumstances in our life, you can't just jump on everything. You got to make sure that you are wise with what you are discerning. Right? Follow me? And so that's the reason I said that God reveals his will often through natural and normal circumstances And you can't sit and just wait for him to drop it out of heaven in your lap. You following this? This was a man of faith. He acted in faith and in wisdom. And you have to be discriminating then about the way you discern the things around you every day. The last thing I want you to notice here is that Noah demonstrated what I call great patience. Did you see verse 6? He waited 40 days before he opened the roof and sent out the rain. So he was, even though he could tell that the ark had come to rest, the waters were beginning to obey, he didn't rush to do anything. Waited 40 days, over a month before he sent the raven out. His brother's patient. Okay? And so don't get anxious just because it looks like the storm's over. You gotta be patient. Wait for God to work out the full plan that's happening on you, right? And he sent out the dove. The dove came back. The Bible says he waited. Another 7 days. Now, he sent that dove out, and the dove comes back with an olive leaf. Well, that means that there's green light. You can go. But what did he do? He waited another 7 days, right? Sent the dove out, and what? He come back. The brother exercised patience. My brother, my sister, we got to learn from God. All of us are going to go through these kinds of storms. But you've got to, Romans says what? These things are written for our learning, for our understanding, for us to learn how to live our lives. Agree with that? We can learn from Noah as we face our situations. Sometimes God's deliverance takes much longer than we expect. And it may appear that he has forgotten us. But God never forgets his children.
Amen.
He never leaves you in circumstances and abandons you, right? The Bible says, Jesus promises, I'll never leave you, what? Nor desert you. He always remembers his promises. And just as we saw here, many times in life situations, God does not give you specific details about how to proceed.
Amen.
We must discern his will from circumstances in our daily life. What does God mean when I just had an unexpected bill? I had this money plan. Right? We all know what that's like. Right?
Yeah.
To really want to do something and you don't have the money. What does it mean to really want to do something and not be physically able? What is God saying to me? What does it mean to have other commitments and priorities and somebody is asking me to do something outside that? What do these circumstances mean? What does this look so good? This looks like the right thing. Why did I get so far with it and then it shut down? What does it mean? We've got to discern in these circumstances what God is saying. And you can't expect him to... what's this commercial? You see this VA commercial? Is that a VA commercial? You got the kid that, you know, hits the parent in the head. You've seen those commercials? You can't expect to just be sitting around and God comes and, you know, gives us the old bump on the head and say, don't you get this? He expects us as children to discern. He controls the circumstances of our lives, and he expects us to discern from those circumstances what he is saying. What are you saying? Let me be clear. This is what I'm saying. When our children were young, we had to hold their hands and take them everywhere they needed. When they get older, what do we expect? expect them to be able to manage many of those things on their own and not come to say, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, every time, right? Because we've covered that. You know how what I think about this or about that, right? God expects the same of his children. As you grow, he expects you to not act like infants any longer. Right? And so he's not giving you all the specifics and all the details. He expects you to be able to discern what he's saying in the situation. That's the reason we don't want to miss out on opportunity. God might have had something to say to you today. We assume that he did, or else we wouldn't be here. But all those other events that are happening in your life, they all mean something. God does not weigh circumstances. If, and I know you do, if you're going to believe that God is causing what? All things to work together for good, all of them have meaning.
Amen.
That's the only way they all what? Work together for good.
Yeah.
So I need to be the same. You all with me? I didn't mean to take that long, but this was important. I hope you see that it's important. All right. Then let's look at our last big item where I call God Begins the Restoration in verses 15 through 22. Now, did you notice what we saw before with the judgment is that God remembered and Noah responded to God's faithfulness. Okay? Now what I want you to notice here, God is going to command, and Noah is going to respond to God's command. You follow me? Okay. I want you to see my thinking here. So God commanded when to enter and when to exit the ark. This is vital. It wasn't left to... Now Noah had to build it, right? He had to follow all the instructions that God gave him to build it, but it was not Noah's ark. I know people say that.
Amen.
Noah didn't own that ark. He built it, but the ark, what? Belonged to God.
Yeah.
Noah can't get on that ark anytime he wants to. Neither can he leave it whenever he wants to. The ark belongs to God, and God tells you what to do with it.
Well,
you all hear me?
Amen.
There are a lot of things that God left us to be steward over. You better believe that you need to treat it as if you're a steward, because you've got to give an account of everything God has left under your care.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Now, God commands, you remember back in, you remember 7:1? See Genesis 7:1? Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Look at verse 15. Then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your son's wife. God told him when to go in, and God told him what? When to leave. Now he made discernments about what was going on outside, and God expected him to do that. He knew that the water had abated and that life was weakened. In other words, it was very practically speaking, Noah could have left the ark and done fine. Or it appears that way. But Noah dared not leave the ark until God said, it's time.
Yeah.
Even though things looked all right, you cannot respond to the way things look. You good with that?
Yeah.
So God clearly determines who and what will enjoy this new life after the judgment. That's God's purview. He is the one who determined who went into the ark. He's the one who determined who would leave the ark. And so it was God who determined who was going to enjoy, right? This new life. waiting to hear from God and knowing that you have heard from God is essential when you make fundamental decisions in life.
Well,
this was a life-changing decision here. Leaving the ark. The ark is a place that kept you safe.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there for a year, over a year. Imagine being locked up. Well, y'all do know animals do not smell good. Even on God's ark. Because, you know, it's time you have to think about it. Think about trying to manage life. These aren't little, we used to have canaries and birds like that, little things like that. And y'all had hermits and that. Those things can be really messy. But these are little, critters. Think about a boat full of huge animals. He's been locked up here for over a year. Now I can go out, but this was an important decision. You got to make sure you hear from God, even when it looks good and looks right, and you're tired and you're ready. You on go. You're ready to move. You got to wait until you hear from God. You can't just assume that, well, God brought me this far, I know he won't leave me. Well, that's true. But you can't. The Bible refers to presumptuous sin.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just take actions and then think God's going to bless it just because you did it. Right? That's called presumptuous sin. And so I'm saying, just like Noah here, you need to make sure you've heard from God when you make life-changing decisions. Make sure. We're good? All right. Noah responded in faith. And so you see verse 18, God commanded, and what we see in verse 18 is that Noah went out. So Noah went out, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives. He responded in faith. But not only that, Noah ensured that all of the rest of the animal life obeyed God, that they exited. You see that in verse 19? Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, and everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Noah was a faithful steward of what God had charged him to do to the end. He didn't just stay faithful until the storm blew over and then just start acting foolish. He stayed faithful to the end. He made sure that he carried out all that God assigned him to do. So don't be faithful in your life until things start working out for you and then start acting foolish. God expects you to be faithful all the way through, right?
Amen.
So he was a faithful steward to the end. And I've been waiting to get to this. Y'all remember when I talked to the children about how people respond after the emergency's over and everybody's come out fine, right? Notice Noah's response to God's faithfulness. You got verse 20? Look at verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. What is that? Worship. Thanksgiving. A burnt offering is a thanksgiving offering, okay? Noah responded to God's faithfulness with thanksgiving and worship. You know, here's something I want you to think about. When Noah's storm was over, his first thoughts weren't about himself. His first thoughts weren't about his own needs, such as, man, what am I going to eat? wholeness or business. All of these were real issues. But he did not seek himself and his own needs first. Right? What did he do? He seeks God, God's kingdom first, and he trusted. Matthew 6:33.
Mm-hmm.
Seek him, his righteousness first, and what? All these, what? You know, things will be added. Things will be added. This brother kept his priorities right. He begins his new life with worship. Then, as I try to wrap this up, I want you to notice at the end of this chapter, look at this wonderful thing. God accepts this biblical worship from this man of God, and he makes promises. Verse 21, and when the Lord smelt the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. What does all that mean? I'm simply saying this. God makes promises to Noah and all of future humanity as a result of his worship. I believe this, and I hope you can grasp this point from what I just said. When we worship God, you notice that God gave Noah what? Hope. When we worship God in spirit and truth, he gives us hope. He always does. That's the reason worship is so important. That's the reason you can come here discouraged. But when you worship the true and living God who is above your problems, he gives you what? Hope. That's the reason God says, don't forsake that. Don't pull back when you're hurting. Don't pull back when things are falling apart. Don't press it in.
Yes.
Because it's in the storm that God will give you hope.
Amen.
But you got to worship him. He's why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy when all is well. He's worthy when it's falling apart. He's worthy when you're on the mountain to be praised. And he's worthy when you're in the valley. That's the reason David could say, even though I walk what? Through the valley of the shadow of death, why? I feel no evil because God is with me.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I know all of us. I know, and I'm not just going out of gratitude. I know we're all going through things. For some of us, you know, you're right in the middle of your storm. God is still worthy. And if you'll worship him, he'll give you hope. Some of us have come out of a storm. Worship him.
Well,
don't give him gratitudes. Worship him with your whole heart.
Yeah.
We sing the song about, I've come into this house. But to magnify the Lord and worship him. So forget about yourself. Why, that's a whole lot of good theology in that song. Set your mind on Christ.
Yeah.
This is it. This brother had all kinds of issues in front of him. All kinds of problems. Things that you and I can't imagine. Can you imagine walking into a new life and you don't know, you don't have any idea what you're going to do. But his first thought was not about himself. It was to thank the God who brought him through. Every time we gather, that ought to be the first thing on your mind. Thank God who brought me through. Doesn't mean I don't have problems. I got, you know, Noah got, y'all do realize it. Now the flood's over, but Noah got a big problem.
Yeah.
But he's not stepping off the boat praising his problems or worried about his problems. He's stepping off the boat praising God.
Amen.
Y'all got that? God is the same today as he was in the days of Noah. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
He controls our interest, excuse me, our entrance and our exit from times of trouble. He determines when and where and how long our trouble and our storms are going to last. He determines our deliverance and It's God who is working all things what? Together for our good. Jesus Christ has already died and become that sweet smelling aroma, that fragrance. Remember, the Bible says that Noah offered these sacrifices and they became a pleasing aroma to God. Ephesians 5 says Jesus Christ has already become that fragrant aroma.
Amen. Amen.
So when we come to worship in Him, God is already pleased.
Yeah.
Because we're worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
You got it?
Amen.
Yes. Therefore, the only right response for us today is biblical worship in the spirit and truth. My beloved brothers, sisters, that's my question to you today. What's your response to God today? How are you going to respond today? He's already delivered you through many trials, hasn't He? Already delivered you through many storms and troubles. He brought you through many dangers, as the song says. He's protected you even when your storm lasted longer than you thought it would. God still protected you. He protected you when it hurt deeper than you thought it would. He still protected you. He protected you when the illness got graver than you thought it ever would. When the financial crisis was dire than you thought it would, right? When the family just crumbled to what looks like ashes, but He still took care of you. When the employment, when things on the job, you thought they couldn't get any worse, and they just keep falling apart. When everybody's on their line to you, and you got a dissension all around you, He still took care of you.
Amen.
Right? Regardless of the level, the depth of the storm, He took care of you. He led you, listen to me, into the storm. He kept you in the middle of the storm, and He what? Brought you out.
Yeah.
And the process starts again.
Yeah.
So don't get outside of that storm and start worrying about what to do with the next one. The same God that led you into that, the first one, kept you in it and brought you out, will take care of you and anyone that you face.
Amen.
He's what? Faithful. We can learn that from Noah. God has worked mightily to bring you here today. And I don't know if you thought about that today. You and I can't see what's against us in the spirit. But we know that we've got a whole realm of spiritual adversaries that did not want us to be here today. But God worked mightily to make sure we made it. He's working for you, my brother, my sister. So I ask you again, what's your response to Him? Will you seek Him before addressing your problems? Will you worship Him before addressing your personal needs? Will you sacrifice to Him first and trust Him to supply all your needs? Will you trust Him to work all things together for your good? I'm asking you these questions because I want you to say yes. Will you believe that God will make you more than a conqueror today? Will you believe that He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you ask or think? Will you believe that today? Would you believe that the same God that took care of Noah is the God who's here today?
Yeah.
All right.
Would you believe it?
Yeah.
Would you believe that the same God who maybe didn't speak to Noah in a year, but cared for him the whole time, is caring for you even though you feel like you haven't heard from him in quite some time? If you will only worship God today in spirit and truth, then He will give you hope. If you're not a Christian, you can have the same hope, but you got to believe. You got to believe in the only true and living Christ that can save you and deliver you out of your sin. You've got to trust Him. And He, my friend, will bring bring you through likewise. Our Father, we want to thank you for this journey that we had together with Noah. I want to thank you that in our brother Noah, we see ourselves in many aspects of our life. We want to thank you that you hold before us a faithful example today, and help us to grow in grace and in Christ and face our storms of life and our circumstances with the same grace and courage as Noah. Would you likewise bring to yourself today someone who's not handling their storms so well? Someone who has been trying to handle it on their own. Someone who has been reasoning, trying to reason through life on their own. Would you bring them to rest in Christ today so that they might know that your yoke is easy and your burden is light? Do it for your own namesake, for your glory. In Jesus' name.